Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Andrew David James, only on LA Talk Radio.
And only on April 11th, 2019, which is kind of a, what kind of a day is this? A very cloudy day in Southern California.
You've been out in this day all day. Is this the first time you looked out just to see what it is today?
Well, you know, I didn't look up, you see. We're on the fourth floor here in this building.
I love this window. Don't you love this window?
Yeah, I do.
That's nice. Gets a good picture of L.A.
Yeah, we just need to get our pictures on that billboard. Right
yes,
there, right?
That's right.
It's
right.
going to happen.
Maybe they'll put us on the back of the billboard.
That can happen easily. I can go do that today. Two little 8x10s. Yeah, there you go.
Hey, you're looking good as always. I hear you had a good week. Lots of good stuff going on, yeah?
Yeah, some nice things. And you, sir?
I've been busy. I've been running all over the place. But, you know, it's an interesting time in L.A. because the weather is finally nice again. No rain, no fires, no anything. And it's nice to see that, you know, the spring is blooming all over the place. I was driving around just thinking how lucky I am to live in the city.
Well, now that you say that, I mean, when you say I had a good week, I did have a good week personally, but I had a weird week because the new residence that I've occupied, which is one of these luxury community buildings, you know, which has all the bells and whistles, the gym and the pool, and is right at the base of the hills in Encino. It's lovely. But for 3 days, there was no water.
Oh, no.
No water, cold or hot or anything else.
Wow.
And you suddenly realize, you know, that you take something like that for granted.
Yep.
And then how do you deal with it? I have dogs and you know, you have to wash clothes. You have to take showers, which I didn't for 3 days.
Now, did they give you advance warning on this at all?
Oh, of course, yeah.
So you're living a bohemian lifestyle, man.
Yeah.
I like that for a little while.
But they would also give you advance notice that it would be turned on at such a particular time.
Sure.
And when that happened, and it was to, they said, it's going to be just lukewarm water for the next week. And so we all turned the water on at that time, and
it was brutal.
Scalding
hot
water. Many people had gotten in their shower, turned on the water, which started to be lukewarm, and they started to take their showers,
yikes,
and it turned into scalding. And some of them, you know, when that happens, you jump, and some of them hit the glass doors and hit their head on the back wall. And
this sounds like a screenplay waiting to happen.
Yeah, exactly.
My goodness.
Exactly.
Oh, well, Michael, as you said, we are here on April 11th, and we'll talk more about some of those things going on in the world and some of the craziness that we've had in our weeks as well. But we should jump in and talk to our lovely performers today. Yeah, yeah?
I think we would.
Cool.
Yes. We will be speaking with two lovely people who we've just met ourselves and who are doing something amazing in town, and we're going to talk about that. And if I can get my page turned.
Sir. Page one.
Yes, thank you. Yes, it is. Where is it? There it is. Thanks.
So obviously,
every once in a while. No, this is page two.
That's the one you want, right?
Oh,
there.
That's the one.
Yep. I wouldn't steer you wrong. I mean, I might steer you
it's
wrong, but
coffee.
On this episode,
I don't
I'm
have
not.
Coffee very often, so something's going on here. Indeed, we will, Andrew.
Yes
we will. Yes, today we'll be speaking with, ladies and gentlemen, two of the guiding forces behind the third annual LA Get Down Festival.
That's right.
Celebrating hip-hop and the spoken word at the Greenway Court Theater now through April 27th during what is National Poetry Month.
Yeah.
Please welcome Whitney Weston and Shehan Van Cleef.
Shehan Van Cleef.
My goodness. Well, now, I got to say.
An elegant name. Of the Van Cleefs, of the Hamptons, Southampton.
There you go.
I by no means am what you would call a poetry aficionado. However, I had a chance to look over your website as well as a bunch of the other stuff that was up on this piece and your iTunes download. And not only that, but I got myself back into one of my favorite books from when I was young with Elizabeth Barrett Browning. And I thought, you know, that was one of the first exposures I had to poetry. And it was such a gentle and kind way to look at the world. And, man, I tell you, it reminded me of how much we miss when we don't kind of sit down and engage in the arts and engage in poetry, too. I went back and I read Whitman, and I read so many of these other books that I had sitting on my shelf that I hadn't read since I was 16 or 17. Not to say that that's necessarily your kind of poetry, man. You took that, and you blew the doors off, didn't you?
You know, I was a fan. I definitely was a fan. T.S. Eliot, E. Cummings.
Yeah.
I was a Walt Whitman fan. And then right in college, I turned away from Whitman. Was no longer into that anymore.
You said no, Captain, my captain.
Yeah, no more Tropic of Cancer. I was done with that. And I turned towards Nikki Giovanni. Rumi became some of my favorites. Wow. Jordan Hurston. And I just loved hearing stories and reading about stories that I could relate to and understand. And that was something I think with Rumi, even though, you know, it depends on translation. I think the story transcends the translation depending on how you take it.
That's absolutely right. Well, Shion, I thought that was interesting, but I think your storytelling, it's accomplished not only through your poetry, but through your music as well, and I want to talk more about that in a little bit here. Whitney, also, you are here as truly one of the greatest supporters of the arts I've ever met. How long have you been involved with this association?
I founded the organization with Pearson Blades in 1997.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. Well, this is obviously long time dedication to the live and performing arts, and we're going to talk a lot more about that. We're going to thank a couple sponsors. Will you guys hang around while we do that?
Sure.
If we don't, we get kicked off the air. It's not good for anybody. Trust me. All right. Michael, let's go ahead and say a big thank you to the
people. Absolutely. We'd like to thank, ladies and gentlemen, Princess Cruises for coming on board. Anybody?
Nice. On board. I like it.
The difficulty continues. As presenting sponsors for State of the Arts during 2019, a pioneer in excellence on the high seas for meaningful travelers who seek enriching experiences, only Princess Cruises offers cruise vacations to help you come back new, providing fresh perspectives by connecting you with nature, cultures, and loved ones in a new way.
One of the best-known names in cruising, Princess Cruises first set sail in 1965 with a single ship cruising to Mexico. Today, the line has grown to become the third largest cruise line in the world, renowned for innovative ships, an array of onboard options including extravagant entertainment, and an environment of exceptional customer service. A recognized leader in worldwide cruising, Princess carries approximately 1.7 million guests each year to more than 360 destinations worldwide aboard a fleet of 17 modern vessels.
Experience the next wave in vacation travel at the end of each month from September to August. One lucky person will win a cruise for two in a balcony stateroom on board one of the new Ocean Medallion class ships. Make sure to enter every month, ladies and gentlemen, for your chance to win. You do that by coming here to latalkradio.com, Channel 2, State of the Arts, and you will punch up that page and you'll see the Princess logo, and you click on that to register. It takes just less than 30 seconds, and you may be the recipient of a $5,000 vacation.
Oh, such a deal.
Yeah.
And as always, we would like to acknowledge PerformingArtsLive.com, one of the internet's most prominent listing sources for the live arts here in Southern California. We're grateful to Performing Arts Live for lending their support to State of the Arts. And as always, we encourage you to check out one of my favorite photographers, who is truly one of the best in Los Angeles, Carrie Ann Francis at cafrancisphoto.com. Her headshots will get you work, and I can vouch for that
she
myself.
She did a great job with us, which was just put up today in the lobby.
I saw, hey, it looks pretty nice. That's a nice thing to walk into, yeah. Good shot. And also shows that we're absolutely serious. Yes, very professional. One of the great candid shots she takes. She also does headshots and band shots, all great things, and certainly they do get you work, which is a great thing.
Well, we're always happy to have, as you said, to someone like Carrie and Anne, and also Performing Arts Live, Mike Napoli down there at his place is very supportive of many things, but certainly has been very supportive of us. Yes.
Well, now, Michael, I know that you said that you had a lot of good in your week, as well as some tumult, which was a little bit crazy with the water and all that. Puppies are doing okay, yeah?
Puppies have their health has turned around. Yeah, they're doing great.
Did you get to see any theater this week?
I did not, excepting I did not.
I looked at him with a scolding look.
Yes.
How dare you,
yeah.
Michael? You don't go see enough theater,
really?
What with your every night out.
But I did begin to watch Fosse Verdon.
Very nice.
On FX. Mm-hmm. Do you know that it's on?
I know of it, but I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah. I mean, I think it is. I'm confused. Maybe, Patty, do you know, is it six episodes?
Nice.
So this is just the first episode.
Nice.
So not unlike the Joan Crawford, Betty Davis series they did, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what I saw, I loved.
Yeah.
But I didn't get to even see the whole first one. I was so tired on that night. But
that's great.
Yeah. So
Well, there is a beautiful woman sitting to my right here who has done some amazing thing in the arts community. We should go ahead and bring
her in.
Wait
a minute.
Now,
there's two beautiful women sitting
there.
They're definitely
right. They've both done amazing thing in the arts, too. Although yes, one of them is smart and doesn't want to scream from the corner, I think, right? She's good at using hand signals. Whenever we have another guest in the studio who's not on mic,
she's a publicist.
That's true. That's exactly right. But very often they'll try to speak very softly or they'll try to scream it over so the mics can hear them. She's smart. She's a hand signal.
She's a class act.
There's no doubt about that. Ladies and gentlemen, our first guest co-founded Greenway Arts Alliance in 1997, which produces and presents theater, spoken word, media arts, and dance performances that represent and reflect the unheard voices and rich diversity here in Los Angeles.
She is a lifelong activist committed to keeping the arts and the community working together. She has received recognition for her productions from the NAACP, mm-hmm. LA Drama Critics Circle, LA Weekly, and Women in Theater Red Carpet Award.
That's right. She was recognized for outstanding service by the LA Mayor's Office, the LA City Council, and the LAUSD School Board and Administrations Unions. Last month, she received the 2019 Los Angeles Women's Theater Festival Award in recognition for her diverse contributions in fostering non-traditional and multicultural theater works.
She is with us today, however, to tell us about Greenway's third annual L.A. Get Down Festival in association with De Poetry Lounge mm-hmm. at the Greenway Court Theater now through April 27th. Once again, please give a warm welcome to Whitney Weston.
That's right.
As if you didn't have enough awards.
That's right. Well, Whitney, you should know that every time I typed your name into my computer, I tried to change it to Whitney Houston.
Yes.
And I thought, you have certainly got good company there because you've done as much as she has from the other side of the arts, haven't
you?
You started this in 97, and you didn't stop promoting young and unknown voices, people who were going to change the culture in Los Angeles, and more importantly, introduce us to people we might not meet in our everyday walks of life, right?
Mm-hmm.
That looked like a major point. What was your main mission statement when you started this organization?
Well, for us, we started as actors that just lived in the community, but we felt, Pearson and I felt like it was very self-centered. Mm-hmm. You know, people were doing theater because they wanted to get an agent, and for us, we thought, well, how can we take the arts and use it as a tool to give back to the community?
Yeah.
So what we did, we thought of this idea of trying to connect with the high school, and we lived near Fairfax High School, so we tried to get in the door to see the, sort of like, what can we do to help the school? We didn't get huge response, kind of had to kick the door in a little bit, and once we were in there, we just realized that there was just virtually no arts in that school at all.
Mm-hmm. Which is very odd, especially because of its location. It's mm-hmm. right there, the CBS is right close by, and you know, the show business is all around it, really.
Exactly, and I think that it all stemmed from the fact that they had no money. So Pearson and I were like, okay, so why don't we just start from the core of what do they need? They need to make money. So we created this fundraiser, which was a flea market that's in the parking lot, and we thought we would do it once and raise a bunch of money, and we put arts in the school, and it was so successful. We've been doing it every Sunday for the last 21 years.
So you're telling me Greenway started as a one-night event?
Well, Greenway in itself, as theater people, we did different things in the community, very small. I think we had like $14 in our bank account or something
uh-huh.
like that. It was once we got the idea to really approach Fairfax.
That's interesting.
When it really exploded because there was such a need at that school. And the flea market, the Melrose Trading Post, was successful. So we were able just to keep that going.
And is that the main event that kind of shot the Alliance and kind of got it on its feet and kept everything going? Because since then, it's been constant from what I saw online. It looks like it's been pretty much, you know, every week you have something that you're planning on doing or promoting coming up here in the coming months.
Yeah, so what we did is once we started the flea market, about 6 months later, we found like this abandoned building.
Yeah.
And so we took the money that we had raised at the flea market and renovated it into the
I saw shots
court.
Of that. That's amazing. And it's beautiful now. It's really quite great. But I'd never seen it before, which I thought was interesting. The before and after on that was pretty fascinating.
Yeah.
So how cool. Tell me how people can find out more about this.
Yeah.
For the LA Get Down Festival,
mm-hmm.
They can just go to our website at greenwayarts.org or thegreenwaycourttheater.org. And all of the information is listed, and we have Sheehan here. He has a schedule in his head, I'm sure.
You think? I think so.
Magic.
What? Just out of curiosity, for the sake of this conversation, you have this wonderful flea market, mm-hmm. and what are people able to buy there?
So it's antiques and collectibles.
Right.
So we try to keep it at that. So there's some vintage clothing and just used items.
And how do you procure those items?
So we have an amazing vendor coordinator, and so she, I mean, they actually come to us now. So she is the one who kind of vets the different vendors to mm-hmm. make sure that it sort of fits in with
right.
our market. But in the beginning, we went out to other markets and we met with people and brought them into sell with us, but right now there's pretty long waiting list to get in. Yeah.
As a seller?
As a vendor.
Oh, as a vendor. Mm-hmm. Wow. That's amazing. Congratulations.
Yeah, it's super fun.
And how can patrons go and find out more about that? Where can they pick up tickets? Do they need tickets to get in initially?
It's $5 at the door,
okay.
So they can just show up. And
are
it's
there
right
advanced?
On campus.
Are there advanced tickets as well? I thought I saw something online about advanced something.
No, you just
must
pay,
have been mistaken.
You pay
okay.
at the door.
Okay.
Yeah, and then we've got food and music and. It's actually a super fun event.
How great.
Yeah.
Well, it certainly sounds, and I saw some of the reviews as well. People certainly said they had a good time. I saw one guy who was talking about, I think, a hat that he bought that was like a vintage hat, which was so cool. You obviously antiques and clothing, I guess, on some level. There's some.
Yeah, there's okay. some clothing. We try to stay away from new clothing.
Sure.
There's a little bit, but mostly vintage.
How great.
Yeah.
And all the proceeds go where?
And so the proceeds go to, they're split between Greenway Arts Alliance and Fairfax High School. So
fantastic.
We use a lot of the proceeds to fund clubs and organizations and beautification on the campus. And,
yeah.
and then our programs, we do in-school and after-school programs at Fairfax.
Well, obviously that's
yeah.
great because as a father of two children, it's more important now that you get the children exposed to the live arts and get them, as we always say on this show, Michael, get them
yeah.
off the couch, get your
oh,
people
yeah.
out and moving so you
yeah.
can go out and see some live and performing arts and better your life.
So that they will still... So that we will still have the performing arts
certainly
in the future. So those people that you first walked in to see at Fairfax High School must be very grateful to you now, right?
I think so, yeah. I mean, we've stayed in touch with a lot of the parents that we worked with, and we are still in touch with the principal, the first principal we worked with, and she's actually on our board now. So it's been a great ride, and we feel really good about it. And they are the next generation. We
yeah.
connect those students to the shows that we do as well.
Mm-hmm.
So we have the students come and see matinees, and we have them as part of the festival as well. And a lot of them have never seen a play before. So
wow.
for us, it just feels so great to expose them to the
That's
arts.
So
get
wonderful.
Get them into it. Yeah.
yeah.
And they appreciate it. Do you get feedback from the kids?
We do, and they do appreciate, especially when what they see on the stage represents who they are.
Uh-huh.
You know,
sure.
to try to throw, you know, shove something down their throat that they don't want or they can't relate to doesn't work. But certainly spoken word, for sure, you know, that is something that really resonates with them. Oh, it's great.
One of the things I love best about this was the idea that you started out as performers and yet you had to become money people at some point. It
yes,
was like,
it
look, if we're going to keep the arts going, somebody has to have the business sense behind it, which you certainly have, but also the dedication to stick with it. And Greenway, I think, has shown this idea of, hey, if you're going to start something, you have to follow through on it. What's been the most difficult part of keeping this up and going?
Well, I think we didn't really... I mean, just to be totally honest with you, we didn't really know what we were doing. So we didn't have a business plan. Like, we didn't do any of that. But what we did do is we made a lot of mistakes.
Yeah.
And we just grew from them. And I think the hardest thing was at the beginning, we had all of our friends working for us. And at some point, we had to, you know, set down rules and, you know, give people a schedule and make sure that they were on time and had to be accountable. So I think we went through several staffs.
Yeah.
Because of that,
mm-hmm.
yeah. And just because we didn't manage them in the way that we probably should have.
Yeah.
But I will tell you, our staff now is amazing. We have dedicated people that they are so amazing and connected to the mission of the organization and also just, you know, happy to be there.
Are they doing it on a volunteer basis?
No, our staff is paid.
They're paid for.
Yeah.
That's good. That helps.
It does, yeah.
It's fantastic. Now, I heard a number that you have raised over the course of your existence.
Yeah.
Can you give us that number? I know you don't like to brag about it, but I thought it was pretty impressive.
Brag.
For Fairfax High, we've raised almost $9 million.
$9 million.
Good Lord. Wow. That's amazing.
Wow. That's great. That's fantastic. And obviously so much of that money, you know, going directly to these students and making it possible for them to find an outlet. There's probably nothing that a child needs more for their emotional health than some kind of outlet in the arts that allows them to grow and kind of deal with everything that they're dealing with as growing up. That's a fantastic thing you're doing.
Thank you.
Just awesome.
Thank
Just
you.
Awesome.
Yeah. Very nice.
We'll I want to go to the flea market. I want to get some stuff.
Get your family and I'll gather up some people. We should go.
That's right. Now, do you shop the flea market yourself each year, Whitney?
You know, yeah.
Do all your Christmas buying?
I'm not going to do that. But if you walk into my house, it's ridiculous. No, but I love it though.
How many vendors do you have overall? Do you think
we have about 240?
Oh my,
that's great.
That's huge.
It's a huge event.
Giant.
I was really surprised at how
by comparison to other venues that have flea markets, such as like. What the isn't the Rose Bowl or something? One of those
they do that
kind
there,
of venues.
Yeah.
They
yeah.
do it once a month.
Mm-hmm.
How many vendors would go to that kind of a place?
I
do you
think
have any idea?
The Rose Bowl has like 800.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So good. Yeah, they're quite a bit bigger. But some people like the smaller.
I'd rather have the small. Absolutely.
Yeah, I'd get lost through. In 800.
It's amazing, but it's interesting too. Some of the pictures I saw online really showed that it's such a varied kind of vendor. Like you have people doing all different sort of things, and you have people who are there, you know, selling one small item for a very high price. But then you had a lot of just really great bargains that I thought people came. I saw trunks that they were opening up and paintings and stuff like that. It was really cool.
Yeah.
So if you're into vintage wares or goods at all, this sounds like a great place to go. I saw one guy who had bought an antique faucet. Which I thought was really cool. He was redoing his bedroom or his bathroom, I guess he said, and antique fixtures and all that, which was really, really cool.
Yeah, we have a lot of vendors that do estate sales.
Cool.
So they just like get a whole bunch of stuff
and bring it in.
Yeah.
What a great thing. Very, very cool. Well, obviously, you two are here to talk about some really great arts-related things, but we have some other great things going on here in Los Angeles. Michael, we should go ahead and do a live arts calendar.
Yes, I think that's what we should do right now. Excellent. Theater LA Cares has announced the second annual Twisted Broadway fundraiser for the Time's Up Legal Defense Fund. The fund begins at 1:30 p.m. on Sunday, April 14th, at Upstairs at Vitello's in Studio City.
Twisted Broadway promises to be an irreverent afternoon offering your favorite Broadway tunes turned upside down and inside out. For ticket or more information, visit Eventbrite, that's Eventbrite.com, or call 818-769-0905, or you can always purchase tickets at the door.
Twisted Broadway is on stage April 14th at Studio City's Upstairs at Vitello's, as we just said, in the Tahunga Village, very charming area of the city. Doors open at 12 p.m. for lunch and cocktail service, and the performance begins at 1:30 p.m. And it has a cast that I'm going to read for you because of all of these people I know. And the producer, Miss Susan Grace of Grace Notes, a wonderful lady that contributes her time here. The cast is Edie Allison from Broadway, Joshua Finkel from Broadway,
mm-hmm.
Gabby Garcia, Susan Grace, as I just said, Jack Benny, who we just had on the show. Wonderful act. These are two fellows that one is Jack and one
not
is
Benny. Not the actual Jack Benny.
Not the actual Jack Benny.
That'd be quite
he
a
didn't
booking.
Come back.
Could be impressive booking.
Yes, it would be. Mark D. Kaufman, Linda Kearns, Ashley Fox Linton, Todd Mikofsky, Kevin McMahon, Daniel David Stewart, and Diane Vincent, the great Diane Vincent, with more to be announced. So Sunday is a big day, and,
that's right.
and you have something new to look forward with the Twisted Broadway.
Well, we've talked about Twisted Broadway. We've obviously talked about Greenway Arts Alliance, which is doing such great things and has some really amazing performances coming up that we're going to talk about more in a
Absolutely.
Minute. But also, I believe Singing in the Rain is coming up.
Singing in the Rain is coming up at the gorgeous Soraya Theater, which mm-hmm. is on the campus of Cal State Northridge mm-hmm. in the Grand Hall. And this is a Tom McCoy, Kathy Rigby production, which generally starts at La Mirada, their theater mm-hmm. in La Mirada. And this is a beautiful, beautiful show, from what I understand. It's opening tomorrow night, and it plays here over the weekend for four performances. And tickets are available by going to, do you have that information there?
I do have that information. In yep. fact, you know, the Soraya has such a great season coming up with so many amazing things, obviously. The easiest way to get tickets for any of their shows, they start as low as $41, I believe. But you can go ahead and zip on to their website at The Soraya, that's T-H-E, and then S-O-R-A-Y-A.org. Obviously, some great things going on there all throughout the year. You can also call 818-677-3000 and look into their box office staff and ask them what they've got going on, because they always know all the good things that are coming up even a few months out. So.
And you know, the Soraya is one of the most beautiful theaters and newest theaters in all of California, and has the most impeccable sound system.
It does.
You can literally
That's right.
hear a pin drop.
Davis Gaines and Don Quixote there was as Don Quixote there was really really amazing. That was a fantastic show, and it really showcased the audio in that venue.
Right, it's spectacular. Have you been? You must make it a treat yourself to it, and get out there and see a show, because they only do about three or four musicals a year, if that's your cup of tea. Otherwise, they're every day of the week they're doing something in that theater. So,
interesting. Now, speaking of amazing people who need an amazing performance venue, we have a gentleman coming up here who I got to learn about a little bit last night. Now, our only introduction was what I could find on you online. And I was shocked a little bit about this next performer, and not only his musical roots, but his love for poetry. And I got to say, I've got two youngins at home, and very often when I go to hand them a book to read, it's Beverly Cleary or something like that. And last night I handed them both Elizabeth Barrett Browning. So if nothing else, I think that there is value in reminding ourselves that poetry has the roots from thousands and thousands of years ago, and the cadence and the delivery of it pays off for young people. So I'm excited about this, and I'm excited to talk a little more about it. Michael?
Well, our next guest, ladies and gentlemen, has the distinction of being the first and only poet to have had a poem named Download of the Week on iTunes.
That's right, and this National Poetry Slam champion and four-time finalist has been featured on countless media outlets, including seven appearances on six seasons of HBO's Deaf Poetry, NBC, Oxygen Network, Current TV, Nike Battlegrounds, Reebok, Adidas, NBA, CNN, ESPN, Complex, and Billboard Magazine.
Other credits include national commercial campaigns, five national tours, including the Tony Award-winning Russell Simmons Presents Deaf Poetry Jam International Tour, and two spoken word documentaries, SP, I guess that's Spit.
Sure, there you go.
spelled with an exclamation
point. That's right.
Spit and Slam Planet.
He was also the first poet to sign an exclusive sponsorship deal with sports giant Adidas, and he is the current voice for the Sprite Street Mix, a radio program broadcast in over 14 countries and in Africa.
Cool. He is also the co-founder of the Poetry Lounge.
We don't stop here.
Which is
we
presenting.
Got more to say, man.
Another 2 pages.
He's also the co-founder of the Poetry Lounge, which is presenting the third annual L.A. Get Down Festival in association with the Greenway Arts Alliance. He joins us today in the studio to tell us more about this remarkable opportunity to experience poetry like never before, and his role as the festival's artistic director. Please welcome Shihan Van Cleef.
Yeah.
You're welcome very much.
Shihan, I told you a little bit about what I went through when I kind of rediscovered poetry over the last 24 hours. I swear it hadn't completely gone away, but one of the things I was surprised by was how much it was easy to jump back into because of its storytelling. And I picked up La Morte d'Arthur, which of course was written in 1500, and I started to kind of read some of the verses there and realized that people used to write in poetry all the time. They wrote poetically rather than narratively, which I think is fascinating. Where did your roots in this genre come from?
My roots originally came from loving to read. I grew up in a household that I was always reading, and I grew up poor, and I was a fan of Scholastic Book Club, and I loved to read, and so I used to enter contests to try and win free books, and that's how I got into writing. And so the first contest I won was writing a poem, and from that point on, I just stuck to writing poetry because I wanted more books. And then I met the right teacher, and he inspired me and introduced me to all the different authors and different genres. And it was from that point on, I just was dedicated to poetry as an art form and exposing as many people to it as possible and rebranding the idea of poetry to people, because I think most people have a very specific idea of what poetry is just because they learn in middle school, normally, sometimes high school, and they read, Walt Whitman's or Shakespeare's. And if it's something they're not interested in, they read it in that disinterested voice, so they don't invest any of themselves into it. And so I think poetry is very much a live phenomenon that needs to be seen to be truly experienced. Even though you can experience it well through reading it, I think it's very important to see it because you get to see the emotion translated in a different way than you take it if you just look at the page and just hope the words create a new picture in your mind.
Absolutely.
Do you remember the first poem you wrote?
I don't remember it. I know what it was about. It was about a gorilla that patrolled the playground and made sure the kids were safe.
Naturally.
That's what I
naturally
do remember.
I believe Elliot started the same way. So that's great. So this was when you were how old?
I was 7.
Is that the one that won the...
Yes.
That's fantastic. I love it. That's great. One of the things that I was looking at last night a little bit is I kind of went over my poetry shelf and I was kind of, watching. My first poetry book was Children's Garden of Verse by Robert Louis Stevenson. And I mean, it's such a traditional, but it's interesting to see the breadth of what poetry really is. I mean, it's gone so many different directions, including being the basis of rap. which I think is fantastic.
For sure.
Because now all my kids are listening to music, and you can hear the poetic beats, you can hear all that sort of thing, which is really cool. You've done a little bit of that as well, yeah?
Yes, I did. I did music. But, you know, I think one thing is, as far as hip-hop and rap is concerned, you know, rap comes from the term rhapsodize, which is someone who's good with language and good with words. So yeah, it kind of makes sense that they would be someone who pays attention to word and
absolutely,
wordplay and how important that is to put together a good story. I think wordplay, you know, makes the story more interesting. It becomes a trick. You know, it becomes one of those, look over here while I do something else on this side. But I used to write music, and I was very dedicated to that for a while. But I also felt that the music became the distraction.
Oh, interesting.
To the words, and that's why I feel like when I listen to a lot of music now, there's a lot of songs out that I feel there's not much being said, but it sounds good, and so that's enough. And I think that rededication to looking at the craft of writing is very important. Kind of how you said you rediscovered it,
yeah,
because you forget those things. And
I
think music can easily distract you, just like going to a play or going to a show. You can see a show where the theatrics are so amazing, but then when you think about it after, you go, was that really good, or was that, yeah, just something interesting to
or what
watch,
was the
or just
show really
sensory
saying?
Overload, yeah, kind of thing. And I think poetry and spoken word, which is just a marketing term for poetry, is stripped down. It's just you hear the story directly from the person most of the time who wrote it, and I think you get to decipher what the message is to you. Because I think that's the important part.
So now you said something, because I'm digging this idea of the distraction of music. Not that music is a negative thing, but
all,
that it can distract from the heart of the meaning. I feel that very much about oil painting versus photography. Photography is a great medium, but at the same time, it can sometimes haze the true version of creating the beautiful art, which the oil painting can't. You can't fake that. Poetry at its base is about telling a story, the epic poems that started. What stories do you aim to tell in your poetry?
Specifically, I like to tell stories about family.
Mm-hmm.
I was raised by a single father, and I think I grew up in a time where single moms were raising,
yeah,
you know, people of color's families, and I think it was very important to talk about being a father and being a husband and being and raising. You know, I'm a father of three, a husband of one, and I'm very dedicated to that. And I think those stories are important because I'm a big media person, and I realize that when we watch television, the examples of a black father in love with their family is not something you get to see regularly, if at all. And so it was something,
right,
I thought was very, very important, especially with younger people. As I got older and I started to create my own family, that it was important to lay that out. And noticing after I had done certain poems and read in certain places around the world, that people would say, oh, it was good to hear that from you. I remember one time Nikki Giovanni at a show came up to me after, and she goes, I wish more people spoke about love the way you did. Mm. And she wrote a note to my mother. And I was like, it was weird she wrote a note to my mother because I was raised by my father.
Yeah.
But it was still something I gave to my mother so she could see
did
it.
Did she know your history when she wrote that?
She didn't know
that's
my history when she wrote,
wow,
that to me. She just assumed,
wow,
which is the thing, what I mean about the idea.
It's huge.
The, you know,
that's
what people's
huge
reference points are.
And I think that you talked about that. I mean, obviously, when you were a young man, there were not fathers who raised single families. Like, it was, first of all, a social stigma, but second of all, culturally, it was,
culturally,
you know,
right,
it didn't happen. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Is your dad still with us by chance?
Oh, my dad is still with us.
That's impressive.
Well,
hey,
we're
going to give him a big round of applause because I know how hard it is to be a dad, man. I'll tell you, that is pretty impressive. Pretty, pretty impressive.
There you go, Mr. Van Cleef.
And I think the fact that you came out a poet, even with that kind of thing, I think that shows the sensitivity and stuff that you're talking about in family stories. Every family has a story, and if you can tap into the heart of that, there's a lot of beauty there.
Oh, for sure, because I think emotional storytelling is the best poetry for me.
Yeah.
Just because if I can remove the adjectives of my life, like being a black and being from New York originally and moving to Los Angeles, people don't understand that, but people understand love and pain and happiness and sadness. And if I can stick to the emotions,
yep,
I think people will understand the story better.
Yep. That's
amazing. Can you give us a little sampling?
Oh my God.
You had to have known that was coming.
You know what? I had no trust me. I had no idea. And I got in an accident.
Wait, so what happened?
A car.
On the way here?
Yeah.
Are you
what?
Okay? You didn't,
today.
How
I'm
do you not
fine
lead with that?
I was, it
wow
was just the most off day.
So you were driving here?
I was driving. I was on, well, I was further down in LA, so I was on 3rd and Rossmore.
Okay.
And a car just comes across the lanes.
Didn't stop.
Like, are you kidding me? Luckily, my car didn't get buzzed. I was able to drive, but Wow. Yeah. So that was the day.
Wow.
And then here, and I'm like, poetry, let me recalibrate. Yeah, no get kidding. My head back wrapped around.
What's so funny is
words.
When you started by saying I was in an accident, I assumed it was the start of a poem, and then I realized very quickly we'd gone horribly wrong. No. No, well, hey, I'm glad you're okay.
And the other person's okay?
The other person was fine.
What a gamer. Way to make it to the show, too. That's pretty impressive. And he didn't say a word about it until right now.
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive.
I think you're the first guest we've ever had that's had that situation happen to
them. Just had to be different, didn't you? Just had to show up with his own little thing. I think that's amazing. I'm glad you're okay. Your car's still running and all?
Oh, yeah, car's running.
Okay. Well, if you need anything after the show, we can certainly call somebody and all that sort of thing, too. That's crazy. Los Angeles is a dangerous place.
Yeah, bad drivers.
And, well, and not only that, but every time you turn a corner, it's like you go, what's around this corner? Is it going to be a truck that's backing up or whatever?
Are they worse drivers than in New York?
Yes, for sure.
Really?
I think people are used to the driving there.
That's
used to the weather and the rain here. It rains and all of a sudden everybody...
Right.
I thought they were good drivers is even worse. So
it's terrible.
Can
terrible.
You tell me, obviously, you have a number of dates coming up here as I look at this fantastic press release that is always so well organized. I'm looking at this and I'm seeing a number of different locations and different venues. Is that correct?
Everything's going to be taking place at the Greenwood Court Theater.
So, and they're all in the same part of the Greenwood Court. Okay. Now, is there these different dates... let's say Saturday, April 6th. If I want to come to that show, it says, and this can't be right, this has to be a typo, right?
Yeah, you would have to go back in time in a DeLorean.
That's right. I'd be in big trouble.
Let's go
April 12th.
Yeah, that would totally work.
So this can't be right. It says tickets are $10 online.
Tickets are $10 online. But the Friday show is officially sold out. So Salome.
So you can't go on the 12th.
About one thing, it's sold out now. So,
you also have dates on the 13th.
The 13th, which is the live mixtape. And we have the 19th. The 20th, which is Heartstorms, which is a dedication to open mics, a love letter to the open mic, a play welcoming both like novices and veterans to shine their light on that space. And then the following week, which is the last week of the festival, we have the Ing Slam Invitational Competition, which is a national competition where poets fly in from out of town, and it's a four-round, four-team competition.
Wow.
And they battle out for prizes, for $3,000 a prize. And the night before that is a fundraiser for one of the founders of the Poetry Lounge, who had a stroke a few weeks ago.
Oh, my.
So, yeah.
So every night has a different purpose?
Every night has a different purpose, which I think is important because we want to share as many different stories in regards to poetry as possible over the course of the month.
Mm-hmm. And am I correct that each night has a different price? Is that true as well?
All the nights are $10 except for the 27th. Which is the team competition, which is $20.
Okay, cool. And obviously some of those early shows had different prices as well. So the best way to do this is to zip on to Greenway Arts Alliance.
GreenwayArts.org.
That's right.
And you can find out more information
about
the
festival. Let's say that again. GreenwayArts.org.
GreenwayArts.org or Greenway Arts Alliance.
Or Greenway Court Theater.
Okay, Greenway Court Theater as well. And is that GreenwayCourtTheater.com or .org?
.org.
Okay, so Greenway Court Theater or Greenway Arts, I believe, correct.
Mm-hmm.
And you can find a lot of different show dates as well as the prices and all the info on what you're going to be seeing that night. Are you performing every night?
I am not performing. I'm grateful I'm not performing every night. I'm actually not going to perform this festival. I will be hosting the
final
event.
So you don't have any poetry coming up, but you're hosting the final event?
I will be hosting the final event.
So if people want to come see you, they come on the final night.
Well, see, that's even more reason why he should give us a little taste of what he's done.
Poor man was in a car accident.
I'm not going to push it. I won't push it.
It was interesting, too, when I looked at kind of the dates and what was coming up. This looks like it has a lot of people coming in from other places, not just Los Angeles, right?
Oh, yes, for sure.
And they come in on their own? Is there a fee to be involved?
The teams pay registration fees, but as far as coming in, we've had people from New York and Atlanta, Miami, Texas, Vegas. We have people up from the Bay coming in. We have Portland coming down. So there's a lot of people coming in. And, you know, a couple of years ago we had a New Zealand team fly in. So it's kind of a thing that has grown and matured, I think.
From New Zealand?
Yeah.
That's some poetry commitment, man. serious devotion.
And as a... with regard to reaching out, do you reach out to these people and they reach out to you?
We have a little bit of both.
Right.
It must be
a Herculean process to go through.
It can be. I think it's a little more streamlined now, mm-hmm. where it's a lot easier to kind of delegate and also figure out what fits and what things do not work within the framework of the festival for the month. But it's good having the luxury of people now reaching out to us instead of it always being us trying to find something.
Yes, I understand that so well. Yeah.
So you have Papa. You said you got three kids yourself?
We have three kids, yes.
Tell you,
and they
person.
Are what?
How many? We have high school, we have middle school, and we have elementary.
Wow. So, yeah. Now, you got to tell me, if there's, as a poet and somebody who looks at the world with the artistic eye, what's the one thing you want to pass down to them in this frenetic, frantic world that you hope that they get?
Make sure you have friends that are truthful with you. I have friends I've had over 30 years now, and it's important for me to someone I can trust and someone who will check me when I'm not on top of myself. Mm-hmm. Being held accountable while holding your friends accountable. I think having a strong circle, and especially in a place like LA, which is so spread out, mm-hmm. that I think is very important to have a core unit of people you can trust that surround you so you can make it through here properly.
Absolutely. Very true. And safely. And drive safely. That's the other thing you want to pass down.
Yes.
Those two things. Now, tell me where people can go to find your online pieces. I know you've had a couple downloads that have been hugely successful, but you have poetry albums too?
Poetry albums.
Where can people find those?
You can get them on iTunes, Amazon, and yeah, most of the online retailers. And yeah, if you want to find more information, it's just Shihan, Shihan. You start with that, and my name would probably be the first thing that pops up. The Real Shihan is my website, as well as my Instagram and all those.
And your website
kind of
is great,
my
by the
website.
Way.
Thank you very much.
I enjoyed that very much.
Yeah.
Cool.
I look at this man, and you are as interesting as your name, and you have this amazing light that comes out
thank
of you.
Very you. Much.
It's just kind of something we don't see all the time, right? In this room.
That's right.
I mean, we always have lovely people, but you have something special.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
So obviously we have a lot that we've talked about here today, and we should go back and tell everybody that if you want to go check out some of these events, and certainly this festival has some amazing things going on, you go to greenwayarts.com.
.org.
greenwayarts.org. Although the .com popped up, I think, last night as well.
I think
it may
we
reroute
might have
you there.
That too, may have,
generally,
Facebook,
you buy all of them.
Yeah, I think
but also
that.
Greenway Court. As well.
Greenway Court,
right.
Theater.
Greenway Court Theater, and you can check both of those out, and you can find some really amazing things on this, but as well as so many of the other events going on with Greenway.
Is Greenway Court Theater your theater?
It's on LAUSD property.
Right.
Yeah, so
okay.
We lease it from
there. I see. Because I know many other productions play there that mm-hmm. in and around what you're doing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So obviously we'd encourage you to check that out. Hop online now and you can get tickets. Some events start as low as $10, like I said, which is pretty impressive. We've also talked a lot about the other things, including Twisted Broadway, which is coming up at Patello. So we'd encourage you to jump out there
yes,
and check that
Sunday,
out.
Yes, on Sunday, matinee right. performance at 1:30 p.m., and it is a benefit and for Time's Up Legal Defense Fund. So check that out if you have time, and everything else we're talking about on this program, for Singing in the Rain at the Savoia, having four performances this weekend, and I promise you that's a beautiful theater with the most wonderful sound and top Broadway quality productions.
No doubt about it. Obviously, we've talked a lot on this show about the importance of the live arts. I was excited about this booking because we don't do this kind of thing a ton, specifically events that support the arts as well as poetry, which I think is really cool because sometimes in LA we get very used to when's my next audition, what am I going to go do now? And we don't always take the time to go out and feed our own artistic souls a little bit, which I think is something we desperately need to do in order to keep the city up and running and happy and everybody driving slow and safe and making sure that everybody's relaxed and feeling good, because
sure.
It is kind of a crazy thing, and if you can get out and kind of see somebody else do what they do so well, particularly if it's not something that you're specifically involved in. I've never performed poetry on stage in my life, unless you count Shakespeare, of course, and it was interesting to see how quickly I jumped back into the feeling of, oh man, it's so relaxing, it's such a nice thing to have, and those books that were dusty on my bookshelf got some good use last
night. Well, apparently so.
It's a good thing.
I didn't know that you were into poetry.
I didn't either until
I knew. I thought I knew everything about
yes,
you.
Yes, I started out, that's one of the first things I started out reading, and I was surprised. La Morte d'Arthur was the first, major novel that I read when I was 14 years old. It was, it's a double edition. It was written in 1506, I think, and it was written essentially in poetic storytelling style, and it was fantastic because it reminded me that there are other ways to tell stories, and the distraction you were talking about, a modern novel that may be salacious or may whatever, very often the storytelling's not near as good as it would be in something else. So, and poetry demands a great storytelling style.
Oh, for sure, and I think that's why, it was important to start the LA Get Down Festival and curate events throughout that were varied in style so that people could see, they may see something that's not their thing and then go to another one and go, oh, this, I connect to this in a different way. So it was very important for that. And hopefully will continue to grow as far as not just artistically, but have more and more people come and show and gradually build across the city to a point where people recognize what that is without it being a hidden art form. Because I think poetry is still very much a thing you have to look for.
That's right.
You know, I
right.
think people aren't as vocal about the new poetry That's thing right. going on or whatever. But, you know, there's a play and a this and this, and everyone's great on that. But I think poetry still is treated like the, you know, the redheaded stepdaughter of theater yeah. in a way that it really shouldn't be, because, you know, great theater, if you look at Shakespeare, it's to be performed. That's poetry.
Yeah.
It's poetry. The Iliad, the Odyssey, all those are poems that I think when people recalibrate their head to recognize that that's what that is, I think they're more open to seeing what other things are out there.
That's exactly right.
So that's why it's important.
Within all of the styles that are represented in this event, is there any one style that is sitting at the top of the heap?
For me, this year, I think, you know, there are two upcoming, actually there are upcoming events. There's an event called Heartstorms, which is the dedication to the open mic, and I think it's a template where it's a one person show done by an ensemble,
mm-hmm.
which is a very interesting thing because it's one person's story told by many different people. And then I think a competition, I think, to balance things out. You know, at the end of the month we have the Inkslam Festival, Inkslam Invitational, which is a competition, mm-hmm. and I think it's a different vibe. I think the energy in there, because, you know, America loves to make winners and losers out of everything. So I think we have winners and losers at the competition, and it feels different than going to a regular show. Because, you know, you go to a play, though, you know, even if an amazing scene happens, there aren't people standing up and cheering and yelling yeah. before it's supposed to happen. In a slam, you may get people jumping and yelling during a poem, and the poet still continues telling the story, which I think is important because mm-hmm. it shows the focus that's needed to tell that story in that moment and in that kind of space. And so, you know, we have that, you know, a good example of that kind of showcase is the Poetry Lounge, which, you know, we're going into our 21st anniversary this year,
yeah.
and it's the largest open mic in the country, and wow. it's every Tuesday night at Greenway Court Theater, and it's something where we have showcased artists all over. And, you know, we had, it's also one of those Hollywood's secrets, you know, we had, you know, Prince had come to perform and been there before he had passed away. We had, you know, Will.i.am, Ed Sheeran. We had a lot of people come through, and I think it's still something that people don't really know exists unless you know. You have to be in the know to know, and I think that's something that needs to change in regards to poetry. And hopefully, LA Get Down and the Poetry Lounge will be at the forefront of rebranding what poetry is to people to make it be more branded in a fun way.
Yeah. Yeah, it is the third annual L.A. Get Down Festival celebrating hip-hop and the spoken word in celebration of National Poetry Month. Get online, go to Greenway now and check that out, and you'll be able to find tickets. You can just type in L.A. Get Down Festival and everything will pop up very quickly.
Right.
Michael, he avoided it. He avoided
yes, he
performing
did.
Today because he claims to have had a traumatic accident on the way over here, so well, I did not want to push
him. We have to believe that
but
he did.
But, Shehan, you cannot avoid.
And now. Embarrassing moments.
Try as you might, my friend, you cannot escape it. We're looking for an embarrassing moment, and Whitney, of course, this goes for you as well. Something that happened maybe in your performing career or an audition or sometime while you were in your career, and you thought maybe this is it. I'm moving to the Midwest, and I'm going to become a farmer. That's it. I'm done. And yet you pushed through it, and things turned out okay. Does either of you have something like that?
Whitney, you're on.
You know, I was thinking about that, and I sort of blanked because I sort of push that stuff out of my mind. But I do, as a producer, I do have one. And at the Greenway Court Theater, we're fortunate enough to have Al Pacino do like a pre-Broadway run
wow.
of a show called Orphans by Lyle Kessler. And it
wow.
was such an amazing experience for us because we had Al Pacino in our theater for 3 weeks.
And how does that happen?
Like, we would go to work and there's Al. It was just awesome.
Did you get to the point where you said, hey, Al?
I would say, hey, Al, but that's probably as far as it went. We were all very
because he's not real talkative, I understand.
No, he's not. And yeah. he was focused on his work, and it was so amazing just to watch how he worked. And we were all so starstruck. So when it came time for the performance, he was on stage, and our electricity went out.
Oh, my
while
no.
he was on stage. Yeah, it was pretty horrible.
Wow. So, how long did it last?
Well, they walked off the stage and went backstage, and we, like, told the audience, hold on, and we, like, got generators in and got the electricity back up. I think it took us, I don't know, maybe 20 20 minutes or something.
Oh, my God.
But it was probably the longest 20 minutes of our lives, and we were just so horribly embarrassed. But he was very nice. He was really super nice about it.
Yeah.
Well, surely
back
he
went up on stage and finished the show.
That's live theater. Live theater, that's
pro.
Right. Wow.
I flew from New York to Los Angeles with him in first class, sitting next to him.
Wow.
And I tried to engage in conversation.
Nothing.
And no.
Nothing.
So I just kind of sweated. The
great actor, not necessarily great radio host.
Yeah, exactly.
That's funny. Wow. Sheehan, what you got for us?
Oh, my God. When I performed the second season of Deaf Poetry for HBO, I remember I was doing a poem, and about halfway through, I blanked on it.
Yeah.
And I was always taught, no one knows you mess up until you tell them.
That's
so
correct.
So I just stopped. And I was recomposing in my head, trying to find a spot. And then I made up some stuff to fill in time and continue the piece. And they aired that.
Wow.
And when they aired it, people were coming up to me going, oh, man, I felt you in that moment. It was so deep. And I go, no, it's not anything you think it is.
I was trying to think of a rhyme for garage, man.
Yeah, it was so
that's
yeah.
fantastic.
So that,
I love that.
That was it.
That's great. Now, this aired on what? On, what
on HBO.
I'm looking for that when I get home. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
That's great. Well, now, where can people go to find out more about you?
They can go to my website or The Real Sheehan, S-H-I-H-A-N, The Real Sheehan, or Instagram is All The Real Sheehan. I have my work on there. I have things I've written. I have some of my copyrighted advertising side of things. Just my stories up there.
And Real Sheehan.
Million pictures of my kids and videos of my son doing flips and parkour because that's his passion. So, yeah.
R-E-A-L, Real Sheehan, right? Not
yes.
R-E-E-L.
Yes.
Great. Whitney, where can people find out more about you?
At greenwayarts.org.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great. And do you have Instagram or anything like that?
We do have it for the Melrose Trading Post.
Okay. Yeah. So for the Melrose Trading Post and obviously the
Greenway Court Theater.
Fantastic. Yeah. You can follow them on Instagram. And of course, you can always jump on and follow us at State of the Arts LA. We're easy to find. And we obviously, you know, continue to support these kind of events. But not only that, we hope you'll get out and tell us what you're seeing, right? If you're at the LA Poetry Festival or if you're doing, you know, things with the Get Down Festival or Greenway Court or anywhere in Los Angeles, drop us a note and let us know what you're doing.
Exactly.
We got a couple this week with people who are out there seeing shows that we talked about too,
mm-hmm.
which was very, very cool. So, hey, big thank you to both of you for joining us.
Yes,
today.
Indeed. Thank you. Especially to you, sir. Enduring an accident.
Gamer, man.
With this wonderful personality.
And so glad you're okay, truly. That's what's important. Obviously, traumatic experience, but the fact that you walked away from it and everybody did is what's important.
And we didn't make the mistake of calling Whitney Houston at any time during this
program. That's correct. Whitney Weston. I tell you, my computer did not like that, but now I've got it saved in there.
Oh,
so
good.
Now, whenever I type Whitney Houston's name, your name's going to come up.
Awesome.
That's the way. That's what I'm talking about. Well, obviously, we want to give a big thank you to all of our listeners today. We're so appreciative of you. And Michael, what fun to sit across from you again for another week.
Right back at you, man. Where will I see you next?
Well, Michael, I'm going to be right here on the radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Andrew David James, only on LA Talk Radio.